If you have a Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to spend just a couple minutes looking at Ephesians 4, and then we're going to get into a whole review of our ministry fair today. So we're taking a little bit of a break from the Gospel of John because I wanted to focus the whole day, the whole morning on serving, and then turn you guys loose afterwards on the patio. All of our ministries will be represented, and a few organizations that we love, and you will see this on the inside of your worship guide. I know some of you are allergic to grabbing this guide and looking inside of it, guys. But you need to. So take a look at this. I'm going to give you quick notes on each of the ministries, and that will kind of prepare you. This will be kind of your scorecard for the patio afterwards when you go and look at what ministries we have. By the way, the PowerPoint is really dim today. This is part of church ministry. The reason why it's so dim is we just put a new light bulb in the projector, and that's how things make sense, right? So I don't know what's going on with that. Let's look at Ephesians 4 really quick. By the way, we're not doing communion today because we've got a lot of things going on. We're going to do communion next Sunday. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, this passage gives us one of the most detailed, profound explanations of what body life, church life, is supposed to be like. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, this book's in the New Testament. You can find it in your table of contents. If you're looking up YouVersion, it's E-P-H, Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for a purpose. He's going to explain why God gave us church leadership. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to know that the leadership of Union Church's job, or one key job, is to train you to do the work of the ministry. We'll come back to that idea. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's why doctrine is important. Truth, theology is important. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. There are people who will teach you the wrong stuff about Jesus. Not me, of course, but other people. Well, no, I'm serious. I'm not 100% right about Jesus, but our goal in preaching and teaching is to take what the Scripture says in context, in its historical context, its literary context, and to give the sense, as the Scripture says, or give the meaning, so that we can apply it in our lives today. But there are some people who have gone completely wacky in areas, and so they will come and try to teach you their false view. And that's why we teach the truth and we expose false teaching too. It sounds mean to say the Mormons are wrong, or to watch out for word faith teachers on Christian TV. It may sound mean, but it's my job. It says right here. I'm supposed to help train you theologically so you know the truth and you can spot an error. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The analogy is of a human body, and you'll see this analogy in the New Testament quite a few times. The church is never a building. Actually, there is an analogy in chapter 2 of Ephesians where he does describe the church as a temple, but that is not a physical temple, that's the people. So the church is the people. This is just a room. Make sense? So the analogy of the body is especially illustrative, I think, because if you think of your body, Which parts can you easily get rid of and everything keeps functioning fine? Appendix, obviously. We still don't know if that does anything. But not a lot of other things. I mean, if your head one day said, you know, I'm done with you guys. I'm out of here. Well, if you separate your head from your shoulders, that's called death. If your heart says, you know what, guys? I keep working all the time. You guys sleep at night. The feet get to rest. You get to lay down and go to sleep. And all night I'm there, pump, 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 pump. I'm done. I'm out. Well, I'm not out. I'll just take today off. What's going to happen? It's not going to be pretty, right? So Paul the Apostle uses this illustration of the body to show the integral, intimate dependence we have on each other. The problem is in a lot of churches, the body tends to look like a few essential parts and then a whole bunch of appendixes stuck on. And we need to deal with that. So in the scriptures, every person who claims to be a follower of Christ is also a minister. So I'm not the minister of Union Church. I've always hated that term, by the way. Are you the minister? No, I'm just a human. We are all ministers. In fact, there was a church that was growing by leaps and bounds in upstate New York years ago, and the local newspaper came to interview them because that church had grown so big so fast that they ended up buying a roller rink that was no longer being used and made that their building. And that was their service with, you know, at that time, they had probably 2,000 people going to their church, and the interviewer from the newspaper said, "Oh, was you know asking all these questions about the church?" And said, "Well, how many ministers do you have?" And the pastor said, 2,000. "Well, how many people do you have?" 2,000. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. I want you to see the last part of this passage in verse 16 is the most complex sentence. Maybe the most complex sentence Paul ever wrote, and that's saying something, because he needs more periods and punctuation. I'm a big punctuation guy. Even when you text me, I'm going to be fussy about your punctuation. From whom, now he's talking about the body of Christ. He says, Christ is the head, and we the people are the body. And so, let's go back to 15 to pick up the context. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Keep in mind that your individual growth affects the growth of the church. And the growth of the church affects your individual growth. Make sense? Now, this is really hard to sell in Western culture where we are fiercely independent and we don't see ourselves as part of a body or part of some sort of unity of multiple parts. We see ourselves as individuals. So this is easier to teach in cultures where they see themselves as the part of a collective first and individual second. But that's what Paul's saying. So that, in verse 16, from whom, that is Christ, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it equipped, which is, come on, Lance, you can do this, with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, do you catch that? Are you a part? So we need you working properly. If you're not working properly, we can't work properly as a body. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. What makes the body grow? Everybody's contribution makes the body grow in that respect. In other words, you need other believers to help you grow spiritually in Christ. So that all things being equal, if you have two people who are equally dedicated to worship and praise and Bible reading and prayer, but this one here is immersed in fellowship, in body life, and this one here is not, then the one who's immersed in body life will grow much faster. Because we need that iron sharpening iron. You may not like this, but love can be ugly sometimes. And sometimes you need somebody to tell you, that's wrong what you just said. That's wrong what you believe. You can't do that. You gotta, that's a sin. And nobody wants to do that in our culture anymore, but we need that from each other, and we need the courage to do it for each other also. So this is the big picture, the theology of how church is supposed to work. Church is not one paid pastor and everybody just comes and that's it. So it's a big deal to us to help you find your place in the body of Christ to serve. Now, let me say before we get into all of our ministries here, your place might not be serving here at Union Church. You might have some purpose outside of these four walls or outside of our community groups. You might have a ministry that you do that is not related to Sunday morning at Union Church. That's fine. We don't have enough jobs on Sunday morning for all of you to do if you wanted to. And let me say one thing. No, I'll come to that when we do community groups. That's why community groups are so big, are so important to us, because there are gifts you have that just aren't geared well for Sunday morning service, either in here or with the kids or whatever. Okay, so let's do this. Let's just jump in. I want to introduce you to the ministries of Union Church. By the way, guys, if you were asleep, grab this. This is called a worship guide, or a worship folder, or a bulletin. And this is your scorecard for the ministry fair today. Let's jump in. First ministry, in no particular order, is ushers. Ushers are the people who greet you when you come in the back door. Ushers need to be friendly, outgoing, people-loving people who know how to smile. If you're friendly, outgoing, you love people, and you like to smile, we want you in ushering. By the way, certain gifts and talents work in one place where they don't work in another. If you're a really friendly, outgoing, you smile a lot and you love people, and you're a terrible guitar player, we don't want you in a praise band. Now that sounds mean, but the rest of the church will thank me for being mean on that account. By the way, let me say this as we go along. There's two things to keep in mind when you're looking at serving in church or anywhere, really. I want you to go like this. Go like this. Come on. You can do it. Okay. This circle is your ability. Look at it. It's beautiful. This circle is your desire. Okay? So the first circle is stuff that you're good at. You can put your hands down now. But if you want to keep them up with me, that's cool too. Love you guys. So this circle is the stuff you're good at. This circle is the stuff that you want to do. Now, the ideal would be that those circles completely overlap and make one perfect, beautiful circle, right? You love to play guitar, and you're really good at it. Perfect. You love to do ushering, and you're really friendly and outgoing, and you love people. Perfect. The problem comes when these two circles are like this, and it happens. So you have the person who really, really wants to sing in the choir, but they really, really, really are horrible. And the choir is just going to tell them, hey, go sing with the praise band if that's how you sing. I'm kidding. Kidding. We have people who really want to work with ushers, but they got this big scowl on their face all the time, whether they mean to or not. And when you walk up and greet them, they're like, hey, it's just not going to work, you know? Love it, but it's just not going to work. We'll probably put you to work policing the kids running around the sanctuary after the service and going on the roof, okay? Next ministry is connection. By the way, there's no name listed next to ushers because we are in between leaders right now. Okay, next ministry is Connection. John and Deb Gilchrist run Connection. Those are the people who greet you at the white welcome tent when you walk in. Hopefully, you get warmly welcomed by them. You're like, wait a minute, isn't that what you just said the ushers do? Yes, because we're big on welcoming people. This is our house, not God's house. He doesn't live here. This is our house. So when you come to our house, we want you to feel welcome. So you hopefully will get hit by the Connection team with a big hug and a smile and help finding Sunday school classes if you have kids. And then you'll walk up to the entrance to the church, and again, the ushers will hand you the worship guide and crayons and stuff for your kids and welcome you again. That's a big deal to us. Big deal. Let me just share an inside secret. They've done research. There's lots of church research that goes on. They've done research on how churches succeed and how they fail, and especially what makes a guest want to return to your church. Now, you might think what will keep people coming to Union Church is Lance's amazing preaching. I thought so too. It was a shock to me too. But it's not. And it's not amazing music. It's not even an amazing kids program. What it is they have shown that by the time a person comes in your parking lot, if you have one, they have parking lots in other countries at churches, when they come in the parking lot, when they come onto your campus, and if they have kids, they get guided to classrooms. But in any case, by the time they sit down in the pew, they've already decided if they will return to this church ever. So it's a big deal to us. This is our inside secret. It's a big deal to us that by the time the person sits down in the pew, they have gone through a gauntlet of friendliness. That's a big deal to us. Next, praise band. Praise band is these guys up here. Marcos Abner, the guy with the cool sunglasses, is the praise band leader. You'll see him out at the table. You won't see him. He's doing auditions after. By the way, for praise band and for choir, I'll just do choir and praise band together. Victor Luna is our choir director. What we're doing is, for those who want to audition today, whether it's instrument or voice, you can do that. So Marcos will be in here and available. We'll have someone at the table to guide you. Same thing with the choir. We'll have people at the table, and Victor will be available to check your voice. Now, you don't have to do it today. You can write your name and number and set up an appointment to do it. And I wanted to see, I never sung in a choir. I've sung in other ways, but I auditioned for the choir on Thursday. And I passed, by the way. I did it because I wanted to see what the audition process is like. And it's really not bad. It's pretty harmless. You know, you hit a few notes, they hit a few notes on the piano, and you hit those notes, and you're good to go. So, what if you really want to sing in the choir, but you really don't have a good voice? Well, first of all, let Victor decide that. A lot of people think, I can't sing. I was talking to a couple of musical experts, and they agreed that probably 80%+, maybe 90%+ of people can sing. They might need a little training and a little help, but they can sing. There's like a 5% that it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Hopefully you like math or something, because it's not going to happen for you. But you may not know that. And a lot of people are so shy, they think, I can't sing. Well, there's only a 5% chance you can't sing. So, look, if there was a 95% chance of winning the lottery, would you go in it? Yeah, because a lot of people do it when there's like a 0.000001 chance of winning the lottery. So, there's a 95% chance you can sing. So, we want you. There you go. Next ministry, PowerPoint. Marta Dominguez runs PowerPoint, our projection. Marta's not here today, so PowerPoint's not going to be represented, but you can always talk to me about any of the ministries that you have a question about. Next is meals and visitation. Lillian Bice will be at the table, and this is, as we've mentioned in recent days, this is especially when a family has a new child, a new baby. We like to bring meals to kind of relieve the crisis of the situation, or when somebody's sick or whatever. And also it involves just visitation when someone is sick. Next, we have Union Kids. Union Kids, my wife Suzanne heads up that ministry. She'll be at the table outside, I think with candy and lollipops. We're always looking for new teachers to teach. A lot of people, it's interesting, I put some verses here about service in church life, and a lot of people, it can break down into two categories: serving, like physically helping, or teaching. Serving or teaching. And if you ask people in a survey whether they are gifted to serve or teach, about 99% of people will say serve and not teach. Teaching is a gift that the only way you find it is by trying. The only way you find it is by trying. My first time teaching was with junior high age kids, middle school. It was horrible. They tore me up. And I said, that's it. I'm not doing any more teaching. I ended up being forced back into it by my pastor, who was also my best friend. And because of that, I ended up teaching every age you could possibly teach, from little ones to old ones. And did a long stint with teenagers, believe it or not, because I don't like them. I'm kidding. They're fine once they hit like 25. So if you had asked me, I wouldn't have said I had the gift of teaching. But this is my encouragement to everybody. The only way to know whether you're gifted at something is to pursue it, is to try it. And teaching, particularly, you have to try it a few times. You can't just try it once and give up. So we're always looking, and we're expanding our Union Kids. We're adding a new class of 8 to 10-year-olds. So that's going to start next Sunday. We're starting a new class. We've got a new role of teachers for that class. But as I said, we're always, always recruiting. Next is women's ministry. My wife Suzanne and Deb Gilchrist head this up. They will be at the table. They have an awesome Bible study on Tuesdays. Not that I, they don't invite me, so I don't actually get to go in and see, but I've heard great things about it. So next is sound ministry. Jamie Garcia. Sound booth is up there in the balcony. Everybody look back and Jamie will wave to you. That's our sound system. We've got a huge soundboard up there and a computer for the live stream. And Jamie runs the sound. We're always looking for new people, especially since Jamie and Adrian will be moving this summer. So we're urgently looking for more people to train. And it takes a while to get really good at running the soundboard. So please join us with that. Next is live stream. Actually, these four in a row, sound ministry, live stream, soccer, and young adults will all be represented at one table. And Josue Rivera and Jamie Garcia are holding down that whole thing. So sound ministry, live stream is Josue. Josue, wave to the people if you would. Live stream is the sending the video of the service and audio to the nursery at the end of the hall and to the mother's room out that door there. Next, we have soccer. They play on Saturday mornings. My understanding is all ages, all skill levels are welcome. They even invited me. That's not going to happen. Young adults is something brand new that we are trying out. And Josue will have information on that at the table, but we're going to do a one-off gathering. Actually, it's going to be on St. Patrick's Day, so in a couple weeks at our house. So if you are a young adult, that means single, married young adults, sorry, you can't come. Next is translation. We do simultaneous translation. The translator sits up in the balcony. Ruby is up there right now. Ruby can wave. We use audífonos so that someone who prefers to listen to the message in Spanish can do so. And we've got, we have two people doing translation. So we urgently need a third or maybe a fourth person to help with that ministry. And that's a very, very narrowly defined ministry, because you have to be really good in English, really good in Spanish, and then have this extra gift, because translating on the fly is really difficult. Not that I would know, because my Spanish is terrible. Next, Comunidad Lomas, that's Ruby also. Those will be represented at the same table. Getting into our community groups. Comunidad Lomas, if it's in Spanish, then that's a Spanish-speaking group. Comunidad Lomas is here in Lomas, and we are big on community groups, meeting during the week to help each other grow. And like I said at the beginning, many of your gifts are best suited for a small group environment. That they won't, you won't have a title necessarily, organ player, choir director, Sunday school teacher, but you have maybe the gift of exhortation, and you're really good, helping people, counseling people, encouraging people one-on-one. And so small groups are essential. We need you in small group, and you need small group to use that gift or that talent, that strength that you have. Next is Santa Fe Community. Oh, sorry, Comunidad Bosques is next. Eduardo and Rocio Espino, they will be out there. Bosques is obviously here in Bosques, but it's currently, by the way, I'll just put an ad for them. It's currently moving from house to house because there's not somebody who's able to host it on a weekly basis. We really want to see that community group get anchored in one house. So please pray about that if you live close. Next is the Santa Fe Community, Baker and Christina Nicolau. Baker did the welcome this morning. He'll be out at the table. They are just getting started, and it's a great group. We went and visited them a few weeks ago. Polanco Community is the next one, Steve and Rachel Allen. Rachel will be out at the table for the Polanco Community Group. Comunidad Nonoalco, World Trade Center area, Danny Negrete and Miriam Miranda will be out there. They are a great couple. Love those guys. In fact, Danny's going to be playing bagpipes in worship in a few weeks. So, I'll give you a hint. I think it's going to be the very first song, so don't be late, because you will miss it. They were practicing yesterday. It was freaking awesome. So I don't know if I can say that in church, but too late. So next is two community groups, Comunidades Bosque Real and Santa Fe, and they're headed up. They just got started. Dwayne and Liliana Nisli are heading those up. Next is Adult Sunday School. Adult Sunday School meets at 10 a.m. at the other end of this hall. If you went out this door where the kids go and you keep going, you'll run into the sala, and that's where that meets. And that's Jack Honey will be at the table representing them this morning. Okay, now we're going to move into organizations we love, and I want to invite Paris and Lid to come up. Where are you? Don't be shy. And they're going to come up and share. Oh, only Lid? I guess Paris is being shy. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, our ministry is Dreams, and Dreams is a ministry among the immigrants, and what we do is we visit the immigration center where the immigrants are.
Nicely done. Thanks, Lid. Next we have Comunidad Cristiana Roma. This is Joshua and Naomi Smith's church. Joshua and Naomi and Suzanne and I go back about 18 years. And Joshua and Naomi were the ones, they came here as missionaries to work with what was our denomination in the States, the Evangelical Free Church. They're working with Reach Global to start a city team in Mexico City, and so they're bringing missionaries here to work with them, and we partner with them, and in the process, they've planted a church. This started as a community group that we advertised, and we have some of our people who go there and are involved, but they also started a church a year ago? Might be 2 years ago. I'm getting really old. They are not here today to represent their ministry, but I just want to put that out to you. That's an awesome church, and it's a new plant, and they're just raised up a pastor, David, who's a really cool guy. It's very much a hipster church. You would guess that because it's Roma, but David is truly hipster. He's so hipster, he doesn't know he's hipster. So that's the ultimate test, right? If you said, are you hipster? You know, because a wannabe will be like, yeah, I'm a hipster. Like, I tell my kids that I'm cool, like, because I have to tell them that because they know I'm not. But if you say, hey, are you a hipster? And someone goes, what? Then you know they are, and that would be David. So only cool people can go to their church, I guess. That's a joke. Next is Doxa. Doxa is a church plant also led by Chuy and Carla Rodriguez. That's down in Coyoacan. That started as a community group, too, that we advertised, but they are up and running and doing really well. They got like 60 or 70 people going to their church now, which is just awesome. So they will be represented by Priscilla, who will be here from their church. Next is Adulam Prison Ministry. We have a friend who's in jail, and he has started churches. He got put into jail because of charges against him, because of an orphanage he was running. And so being put into prison, what did he do? He started churches because he's a rabid church planter. And so we assist him in that ministry. His name's Emilio, but Jack Honey will be at the table to explain that. We're planning, I don't know if it's confirmed, but we're planning a trip there for April 29th, which is a Saturday. So we go there. It's about an hour to get there. We spend about 2 hours there and do whatever we can, and then we come back. You don't need to speak Spanish to do it. That helps, obviously. But I would love for every one of you, and guys and girls can go, I would love for every one of our people to be able to go there and see the prison and see what they're doing. Next, my good friend Jean-Luc Krieg is going to come up and share with us about Conexión Mosaico. Jean-Luc started this ministry a number of years ago here in Mexico City, and I stumbled upon him in the hallway at Union Church because he was here meeting with another friend of mine, and we hit it off and realized that we both grew up on the same 80s Christian heavy metal, and so we instantly became fast friends. So Jean-Luc, tell us a little bit about Conexión Mosaico. Thanks. Thanks, Jean-Luc. Yeah, well, too bad. We only work with Presbyterians now. That was a joke, too. Because like 95% will laugh, and there'd be one person going, "That's not funny, man." Okay. Yeah, and a bunch of our people have interacted with Mosaico, and we really like what they're doing over there. And what's great about that kind of ministry is it doesn't have to be a project. You know, we did send a team in September, but you can go. We've had individuals go. And it's not just going and digging ditches or building buildings. It's, look, they need your talents with finance, with micro-business, with organization. See, these are things that they couldn't use me for. These are ministry things you can do. A lot of people who have like a background in construction or banking or investing or law think, well, how am I going to use that for God's kingdom? You can use all of that. I can't think of anything you can't use, any profession you can't use for God's kingdom. Well, I can think of one. But thanks for catching that. Next is El Pozo de Vida. I almost had Benny Yu here this morning. Benny has been running crazy. And I got him that close to coming. He said, okay, if I can show up at 11:30 and leave at 1, I said, done. This was as early as this morning, or as late as this morning. But Benny is also on staff at Vereda Church in Coyoacan, or Pedregal, and he texted me right back. He goes, abrupt change. Josh, our pastor, is super sick, and so I have to be up there. I have to be at church. So I said, okay, fine. So we'll have Benny come over the next few weeks and talk about what they're doing with, basically their ministry is to fight human trafficking. And I'm pretty sure somebody is coming to represent them. So, and last is Serve the City. Serve the City is something we haven't really talked about. This is a multiple organization action to spend one day serving different parts of the city, hence the name. Serve the City is a big organization that's done a lot in Europe and the U.S., but this, I think, it will be the first project in Mexico, definitely the first one in Mexico City. And so Scott, my buddy from Operation Blessing, and Vereda Church, and Benny Yu, and other people like that are getting involved to organize one day. So multiple churches, multiple organizations, so we'll have a lot more information on that. But I want to say one thing about this. We won't have a table for this, but I'm looking for somebody with organizational skills who's friendly and who loves Jesus, who will coordinate unions' involvement in Serve the City. So if you're out there, you can be brand new to union, that's fine, but if you have organizational skills, I would love you to organize this and be our coordinator for union, because I'm not going to be able to do it personally. That's it. We're ending early, so we have lots of time, and kids have lots of time to jump on that giant bounce house. I want to read this quote by David Livingston at the bottom of your scorecard. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? How many of you have heard the name Hudson Taylor before? That's a shame. Hudson Taylor was from England. In the 1800s, he had it on his heart to reach China for the Lord, and so he moved to China, and he's one of the first missionaries that were noteworthy in that they went native, as they say. He took on the dress, the lifestyle, everything of the Chinese people. He figured if he was going there, he was going to become one of them. And he lived a very austere life. He lived very poor financially, but God did an amazing thing through him. But he was asked one time about all the sacrifices he made for God's kingdom. And you know what he said? I never sacrificed. What? He said, I never sacrificed. He says, how can you call giving up what I gave up and gaining what I gained sacrifice? I want to encourage you not to be an appendix. I want to encourage you, and actually, I want to encourage you and remind you that it's not even an option. Serving somehow is a command in Scripture. I mean, it's not even optional. It's not like, hey, I want to encourage you to take a chance at serving. I do, but also keep in mind it's not optional. You know, that's a core part of being a Christian, being a part of some body of believers. Like I said, you don't have to serve on Sunday morning here. You might serve with Conexión Mosaico, and that's your ministry. You might help Benny Yu with El Pozo de Vida. That becomes your ministry, and on Sundays, you're just here. That's fine. Like I said, we don't have enough jobs on Sundays for everybody. Unless you're all really amazing singers, and 95% of you could be. 5% can't. So just keep this in mind that this is not selfish for us. This is not to benefit Union Church. This is to benefit you, to help you be taking the steps that God wants you to be his servant. I love the way Emilio, who's in prison, who has the Adelam ministry, he never calls, and he's raising up lots of men to be leaders in his churches. He never calls them leaders. He always calls them servants. I think that's a good reminder. So Union Church, serve. Also Union Church, sing. We're going to do one more song, and then we'll have an offering, and then we're out to the patio. Take this next song and sing it from your heart. Think of how worthy God is. Let's pray. Lord, you are worthy, and we want to remember that. We gather on Sunday morning to be reminded of that and to be challenged. You are worthy to be served. You are worthy to be worshipped. You are worthy of our money, of our time, of our talents. And so we ask, Father, that this would be a serving church. Amen.